Today's study is entitled, What Christ Became. What Christ Became. Let's begin together in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1 and verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Today we want to look in the Scriptures at seven things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ became. Number one, as we see here in our opening text, number one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ became flesh. Became flesh. Look in also 1 Timothy with me. We turn to 1 Timothy together in chapter number 3. In verse number 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. In fact, this verse here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, is a proof text that Jesus Christ was God, amen, when he came to this earth. So here we're told that God was manifested in the flesh. In other words, God sent his Son, amen, to this earth, and he took on the likeness of human flesh, of man. You know, sometimes our mind, we can't understand that, but we believe it by faith because that's what the Word of God has to say. When Christ was on this earth, he was 100% God and he was 100% man. Amen. He became flesh. Amen. He took on the form of man. Also, we see that we're told, if we turn to Galatians chapter number 4, Galatians number 4, in verses 4 and 5, the Word of God says this, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And in verse 5, we have the reason for that. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we see that he became flesh. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. But he was made of a woman. And we see that Mary was chosen to be that woman. Amen. But we see the reason he became flesh, the reason he was made of a woman, was to redeem them, the them is you and I and all of mankind, that were under the law, under the curse of the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, so that you and I could be redeemed from the curse of the law and receive as a result, become sons of God, amen, to be born again. So we see clearly, number one, that Christ, he became flesh. Number two, we're going to see he became poor. He became poor. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians with me, if you would, in chapter number 8, verse number 9. The Word of God says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, here it is, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See? We're told that though he was rich, we have to remember he left to come to this earth. He left the glory of heaven. We can only imagine what that glory was and is. He left the glory in heaven to be born in a manger. Amen. A trough from what animals ate their food. He left the glory of heaven. He was, though he was rich, to be born in a manger, to be humiliated by men. We read of the accounts in the gospel of how he was treated, how he was spat upon, how he was made fun of, how he was beaten, how he had that crown of thorns pressed down on his head. And as a result, he began to bleed. He was beaten beyond recognition. His body was a bloody mess. Though he was rich, he left the glory of heaven to be born in a manger, to be humiliated by men, to die on a cross. And why? Why did he become poor, though he was rich? To save sinners. As Paul the Apostle said, of whom I am chief. To save sinners so a sinner could be rich. So he could be a child of the King. So he could be saved. So that sinner could know when he died that heaven was his home. And not only was heaven his home, but there was an inheritance, or is an inheritance waiting for him. Amen. Yes, my dear friends, though he was rich, he left the glory of heaven. For our sake, he became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might be rich. We have a lot to be thankful for this morning, my friends. Amen. The devil may want to fill our minds and our hearts with negative thoughts. But oh, we have so much to be thankful for. For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He left the very glories of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth, to deal with the fallen nature of mankind, to give them an opportunity to receive him, and to receive him he gave power to become the sons of God. Yes, he became poor so that you and I could become rich through his poverty. Amen. Number three, we want to see that he became obedient unto death. Number three, he became obedient unto death. Let's turn in the scriptures to Philippians chapter number 2 with me. In verse number 8, Philippians chapter number 2, verse 8, the words of God say this: in being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became, here it is, obedient unto to death, even the death of the cross. See? He became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. He came to do the will of the Father, he said, time and time again. Amen. He said in that Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was to be crucified, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He wanted the, if it was the Father's will, for the cup to pass, but nevertheless, he said, "Thy will be done." That cup was, my friends, and he drank that cup. He drank it all. To the very dregs, to the very bottom of that cup. That cup was not the crucifixion, not his death on the cross. Amen. It was the Father forsaking him. Amen. We know that the words, some of the words he uttered on the cross is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that very moment, my friends, God's wrath was being poured out on sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, the scriptures tell us. Amen. The Father forsook him, turned his back on him. Because the Father, holy God, cannot stand to look upon sin. Yes, he became sin for us. He became obedient to the cross. He followed it all the way through to the very end. If he didn't, then we'd be on our way to hell. There would be no propitiation. There would be no offering sacrifice that was pleasing to God for our sins. But it was through him, through his Son. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We read here in the Word of God, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. For he, the God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Christ was sinless. And the reason for that was that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our righteousness are but filthy rags. The only way that we can be made righteous in the sight of a holy and righteous God is receiving Jesus Christ in his blood atonement, his work on that cross of Calvary. Amen. And only that makes us righteous. See? We by ourselves are unrighteous. Our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. Amen. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God. The only way that you can have that righteousness is imputed or put on your account and my account, is when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we see then, number three, he became obedient unto death. Amen. And we see, number four, as we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he became sin. He became sin. See? For he, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." See? He became sin for us. Look with me in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. This goes hand in hand what I just said. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. The Word of God says this: "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," what that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" See? Again, God turned his back on the Son. Amen. And why was that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. Amen. He became flesh. He became poor. He became obedient unto the death. He became sin for us. All at that moment, very moment, God's wrath as he forsook the Son, all of our sins were put on him. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that you can be righteous in the sight of a holy and righteous God is to receive Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive his righteousness. And from then on, when God the Father looks down, all he sees you is in Christ, Christ's righteousness. He sees you covered with the blood of Christ. You're blood bought, you're blood washed. Jesus Christ redeemed us by his blood. He washed us clean, as white as snow. All our sins are gone. Amen. They're in the sea of forgetfulness, my friends. If you're listening today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never called upon the name of the Lord, trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else to save you. Won't you do that today? And receive the righteousness that only you can receive by placing your faith and trust in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Number five, we see that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he became the author of salvation. He became the author of salvation. Let us turn together now to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter number 5 with me, let us look at verse 9. Hebrews 5, verse 9, and the words of Almighty God have this to say. And being made perfect, in the context, it's speaking about Jesus Christ, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, amen, we're told, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is the originator of eternal salvation. You see, he lived a sinless life and was falsely accused and condemned, died on the cross, and shed his sinless, precious blood to save sinners. He finished what he had begun or authored. When he said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. And as a result, all can receive eternal salvation through faith in the blood atonement of Christ at Calvary. It is finished. It is finished. There's nothing left to do. See, he's done it all. He is the author and finisher of our faith. There's nothing, it is finished. There's no other sacrifice or sacraments or religious routines that you and I have to go through. Amen. There's all other religions teach that, you know, there's something that you have to do to be right with God. Bible Christianity is a done religion. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. It is finished. But how many people cannot get it? how simple salvation is. Amen. We don't serve a cruel God that he'd make us do all these things. Amen. And still not have the assurance of salvation. No, we serve a loving, merciful God. A God who gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come, amen, to leave the glories of heaven, amen, to become poor, to become on this earth, to live a sinless life, to give himself a sacrifice so that we could be saved, to all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. It is finished. Simple words. It is finished. Three words. But oh, how mankind tries to add to it. No, it's not finished. Christ didn't do it all. Christ didn't pay the ultimate price. There's still something that you and I can do. It's hogwash. Christ has done it all. Amen. Again, it is finished, my friends. Christ has made the way. He's paid the price. All you have to do is accept that free gift of eternal life, my friends. It's that simple. Again, it is finished. Number 6. Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, he became the first fruits of them that slept. He became the first fruits of them that slept. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. In verse number 20, the words of Almighty God have this to say, my friends. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Very simply, what the words of God are saying is after the cross comes the resurrection. And after our release from the prison house of death comes life everlasting. You see. Because Christ rose from the dead, we have a guarantee of endless life. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 52. Notice now it says, behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, it defines what a moment is. A twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See? It's talking about the rapture. The rapture of the church here. The resurrection. Because Christ was resurrected, all believers will be resurrected. Amen? Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When the Lord returns for the church, those who have died that are in the grave, amen, that have died believing in Lord Jesus Christ, will be resurrected. Amen. Their corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. They'll be given a new glorified body. And we who are here and remain until he comes, our mortal bodies will be given immortality, will be given glorified bodies. See? He became the first fruits of them that sleep. Because he arose, because he was resurrected, so shall you and I, as believers, be resurrected. Finally, number 7, our Lord Jesus Christ became the head of the corner. He became the head of the corner. Turn with me in Acts chapter 4, if you would, in verse number 11. Acts The words of God say this. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. The head of the corner. Now, see, Christ is our spiritual foundation. He's the cornerstone. Buildings have a cornerstone, do they not? Well, Christ is our cornerstone. He's our spiritual foundation on which we are to build upon. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verses 10 through 11, the words of God say this: according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed on how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our spiritual foundation. Everything after we get saved is built upon Him. Amen. Everything we do for Christ is built upon Him. How we serve God, how we live for God, it's all built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew with me, in chapter number 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Of course, rock, Jesus Christ is our rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. My friend, is your spiritual house built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. He's our rock, and everything else is sinking sand. Amen. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, this is what happens. If Jesus Christ is not your spiritual foundation, if you're not saved today, your spiritual house is going to collapse because it's built on sinking sand and not the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2 with me, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 4 and following. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. See, he's either your spiritual foundation, your cornerstone, he's precious to you, but if you don't believe on him and you're disobedient, that same cornerstone has become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Amen. So he became the head of the corner. We've seen in our lesson today things Christ became. He became flesh. He became poor. He became obedient unto death. He became sin. He became the author of salvation. He became the first fruits of them that sleep. He became the head of the corner.